We could spend all day saying thank you to those who support WSHU with financial contributions. I'm WSHU reporter Davis Donovan, and one way I say thank you is by covering regional news to help you stay connected and informed. Your financial support is the lifeblood of the WSHU newsroom, and reporting from NPR and the BBC, we're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. The USDA has a warning for 20 states: share key food stamp data or risk losing funding. A bill in New York would ban anonymous calls to the state's child abuse hotline. Connecticut will expand access to early childhood education beginning in January, plus a conversation with the New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The U.S. Agriculture Department is threatening to withhold money for food stamps from 20 states, including New York and Connecticut, for refusing to share personal information about recipients. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
All 20 states are led by Democrats. They've refused to hand over information like social security numbers, birth dates, and addresses to the federal government. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rowland says the department will stop funding SNAP in the states who don't comply starting next week. They asked for the information back in May. 28 Republican-led states have already complied. Rowland says the information is needed to root out fraud in the program. Democrats say they're worried the information would be used for other things, like immigration enforcement. Connecticut typically receives $72 million a month from the federal government for SNAP. New York gets $640 million. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has until the end of the year to sign or veto legislation that would ban anonymous calls to the state's child abuse hotline. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
If Hochul signs the bill, callers would have to provide their name and contact information when they report child abuse or neglect to the state's hotline. Caller information would stay confidential, but not anonymous. The bill had overwhelming support in the state legislature. Lawmakers say ending anonymous reports will cut down on fake claims of abuse in contentious child custody cases and stop people from maliciously using the hotline for harassment. A ProPublica investigation found 96% of anonymous child abuse reports are deemed unfounded, tying up caseworkers who are required to investigate. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
1,000 more children in Connecticut will have access to early childhood education beginning in January. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports the state is focusing on so-called child care deserts.
Eleanor Trueworthy is the state's interim early childhood commissioner. She says child care providers can apply for the expansion until December 17th.
These spaces can be for infants and toddlers, preschoolers, or school-age children. And it prioritizes areas such as child care deserts, which we know Eastern Connecticut is one of them.
Trueworthy spoke at the New London headquarters of the Child and Family Services Agency of Southeastern Connecticut. Southeastern Connecticut is considered a child care desert because there's more demand than supply for child care. The state's new $300 million child care endowment enables an additional $19 million to be spent on childcare contracts over the next year and a half. It also provides $10 million to be spent on giving providers an 8% rate increase. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
New York's long-running comptroller is suddenly finding himself with company on the campaign trail. A conversation with Tom DiNapoli is coming up.
Vocal support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Upgrading your ride? That old car in the driveway could do a lot of good. Donate it to WSHU and help keep the music and news you love on the air. We'll even tow it for free. Just visit WSHU.org. And thanks.
The Stamford area has the worst traffic in Connecticut and some of the worst traffic in the country, according to a new study. Local drivers lose an average of 53 hours a year stuck in traffic. That adds to about $1,000 per driver in lost time and fuel. On Long Island, Oakdale voters will decide next month on a $44 million plan to bring sewers to more than 400 homes. Supporters say it would cut nitrogen pollution and improve local water quality. It would take about 4 years to complete and cost the average resident about $1,200 to be connected to the system. Good Samaritan University Hospital in West Islip is accepting patients after 3 years for its $500 million expansion. The project includes a new wing for patients and upgraded emergency rooms. The hospital is one of the busiest on Long Island. Santa Claus is coming to town, or a bunch of Santas are expected in Fairfield this weekend. As the New England News Collaborative's Eddie Martinez reports, for the first time, the town is collaborating with Fairfield University students to make sure SantaCon goes off without a hitch.
Fairfield University is hosting its own SantaCon this coming Saturday, December 6th, at Jennings Beach instead of Lantern Point, where it was held in years past. The town's first selectman, Christine Vitale, says previous SantaCons haven't exactly spread holiday cheer.
Past events have had public urination. We've had real concerns about intoxication.
The university stepped in with their own private event, open only to current students. Kathleen Morris is a senior at Fairfield University and is editor-in-chief of the student newspaper, The Fairfield Mirror. She says student reactions are mixed.
A lot of students expressed frustration that the event was being moved.
A majority of students she spoke with say they plan to attend the university event. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Eddie Martinez.
New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli is facing his first challenges from within the Democratic Party as he pursues a fifth full term in office next year. The state comptroller spoke with the New York Public News Network's David Lombardo on the Capitol Press Room about his campaign for another 4 years.
We often ask new candidates why they're running for office and what they want to accomplish. And I'll pose the same question to you, but with a twist, which is, what do you want to do with another 4 years in office that you haven't had a chance to do in the first, nearly two decades?
Well, the comptroller's office has a lot of very important responsibilities that go with the day-to-day operations of state government. And the kind of record that I've achieved, the team I've put together, has delivered on what people expect us to do in terms of issues of transparency, accountability, managing the pension fund. You go down the long list. We are going through a time of real chaos right now. And I think navigating through this time of chaos is going to be a heightened challenge. And I believe that what I bring to the table is a steady hand, proven track record, integrity. You pointed out that I came into the office at a time the office was mired in scandal. My predecessor had to resign, ultimately went to prison. People may not agree with every single thing that I do, but I'm in the job for the length of time that I'm in, because unlike others who I'm sure you've had on the show over the years and you've followed in statewide politics, I haven't had to resign. I don't think that someone who's been doing the job well and with integrity, with a clean record, at a time of great challenge, you want that steady hand to still be there as we navigate in 2026 and beyond.
So you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall, if we can quote Colonel Jessup from A Few Good Men.
I'll use that. But look, if I wasn't as enthusiastic about public service as I am and as I've ever been, I wouldn't be doing it again.
But what about the idea that that is almost too low of an expectation, the idea that I haven't had to resign. I haven't had a scandal. The pension fund has increased, maybe not as high as everyone would like, but it's had good returns.
Oh, dramatic, yeah.
So what about that idea that, we could have expected even more? The office could be doing more than it's been doing the last two decades.
Well, anybody. You could be doing more, I hate to tell you. Anybody could be doing more. But that's why I still want to be in the position, because I think there is more work to do.
And you have to
adjust
already,
it to the time. You're posing the question away like we haven't done anything. I've not just been sitting there staying out of trouble.
But what would you want to do in the next 4 years that you haven't had a chance to do in the first 19 years other than continue to make the pension fund increase?
The controls office has very clear responsibilities. Oversight of state finances. Mm-hmm. auditing of state agencies and local governments, making sure that 1.2 million New Yorkers have retirement security. Those fundamentals of the job do not change. We've been focused on the issues that are impacting New Yorkers with our reports and our analysis for years. And I think that work becomes more important. And because it's done with credibility and with integrity, it is of great value. And so I think there is more work for us to do in those buckets that are part of our regular charge. We don't make policy. We don't make law. So we try to give the legislature and the governor, give the general public and all stakeholders the information that become the tools upon which to build better policy for all the people of the state. And the biggest responsibility is to look carefully in as least a partisan way as possible on the overall long-term fiscal health of the state. So the work we do on a regular basis, and we will continue to do, on how we can save money in the Medicaid program, very expensive program, how we make sure money is not being ripped off from the system. This is the nuts and bolts of the job that we do every day. It's as important in 2026 as it was in 2025 and 2024. And when you have a leadership team that's led by the elected controller that's doing the job, I think that's a good reason to continue to have the value of that leadership.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. Independent, community-supported public radio keeps trustworthy news and uplifting classical music available to all. Your donation sustains the reporting and artistry that inform, inspire, and connect our community. Especially now with the abrupt end of federal funding, we're grateful for the generosity of listeners like you. For more information on how to contribute, visit WSHU.org, or you can give us a call if you prefer. The number is 800-777-9748, and thank you for your support. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.